All right.
It's fine. It's okay. It's fine. So when I started about a month ago, and I heard people say I am in recovering from depression and grateful, whenever I spoke, I couldn't really honestly say that because I wasn't, feeling that way. In my experiences with depression, I have a recurring depression and diagnosed with major depression or severe or clinical depression. So it just really debilitates me. It just steals my life away. The things I'm grateful for when I'm not feeling depressed, like many therapists explain, you're just seeing through, and I think someone said shitty glasses. The therapist used a different term, but shitty is a good fitting for me. But now, today, through the miracle of this group, I can say that I'm gratefully recovering from depression now, and I'm grateful for this group, and I'm grateful for being here. Even though when I first joined, I had struggled with speaking in groups. Through other 12-step meetings, I was able to get comfortable in speaking with groups. Growing up as a child, it just really was difficult for me to speak in front of the class, speak in groups. I remember there was something on my kindergarten report card. I can't even think of it again right now, but it was sort of like fear of joining in. I also grew up, I was the sixth of nine children. I don't know, maybe I just, I was fine at home to talk, but I did have a hard time in school and things. And I was able to work on it through the other 12-step meeting that I belonged to, which, was helpful. But when I join a new group or I'm in a new group socially, it's still difficult for me originally. But I'm grateful that I can speak right now. I wasn't planning on doing this, but that's all right. I'm glad to do it. And I appreciate everyone's service. Being in that severe depression just is the scariest thing for me and the hardest thing. But I realize, I'm trying to think of it, I'm not trying not to be afraid of it because I have my higher power with me. And the other great tool is this group, because just to be able to not have to explain it, even to my depression is definitely in our family. Grandmother was my mom's mom, and my mom, I think, she wasn't treated, but and then many it, there's like so many there's like over 100 people in just like siblings, their spouses, their kids, their grandkids. So it's a big family, and I'm very grateful for that. And but many of the grandkids and experience anxiety, including my kids experience anxiety. And when I was depressed and looking back at some regrets when I raised my kids, mostly just not being able to be there, that the depression got in the way sometimes. I just made me feel very, very bad. This past couple of years has been difficult. We've all been trying to take care of my mom at home. She's needed more help, and she recently went into assisted living, which, being in a big family, there's different opinions, and not everybody was you know, happy about that, including myself. But I hadn't been able to see her because of the depression, and I can't tell her. Or I can, but it was hard. It's hard to say to her anytime I've ever been depressed. First of all, she's 94, and just, I wouldn't say to her now anyway, but you know, I just felt like, oh my God, I can't reassure her too and take care of myself emotionally. And I can't reassure her that I'm okay because I'm not feeling okay. I'm grateful for my husband. Initially, he did not, he had a hard time understanding, which people, I can so understand it, because when I start to feel better, it's hard to understand that frame of mind that I was in. But over the years, he's learned a lot more and been supportive. And as I have been for him, for his disease of alcoholism, which he's a recovering alcoholic, gratefully. But it's not easy, you know, it's not easy. And sometimes I feel like when I start to feel better, then he lets his guard down and starts telling me everything that he didn't feel like he could tell me when I was so down. So I have to really be careful with my boundaries, and I want to listen, but I think I had a tendency to be too attentive, way too attentive to others, and not focus enough on myself. I've learned more through the years about that, but it's an uncomfortable place. I think growing up, like I was a great helper, but I left myself behind basically. So, you know, I'm grateful that I'm feeling a little better. I still feel a little vulnerable because the, you know, severeness of the depression was, you know, not too long ago. So I do, this program is a miracle for me that you're out here, because I could see that. And honestly, I don't really know how to explain it. It just, it's just a goodness of its own that I'm grateful for. You know, I can go to my other meetings, which have helped me through the years. Well, actually one, but when I'm in the depths of the severe depression, I just need to speak with someone that knows about it and is also recovering and working on recovering. I didn't want to go on Zoom, you know, none of my jobs in years past had anything to do with the computer or anything. The last time I had any kind of job, when I was like right out of high school, was secretarial, and we still use the old pop it open to your phone number. It just didn't have anything to do with this. So I'm learning from my husband. He doesn't like it that much either, but he does what he needs. And one of my daughters, we kind of call her the technical one in the family. I have a funny story. When she was in third grade and the computers came out, and you know, all I knew was how to turn it on and off. And it used to drive me crazy. Like they left the computer on all the time. I'm thinking, why is that electricity left on? It's wasting electricity. I just didn't get the whole, it goes to sleep or stuff. I don't know. But anyway, so my third grade daughter was, said, oh, I'll show you how to do it, Mom. And so I got this little composition book, and she goes, so anyway, you turn it on. I go, wait, I got to write down how you turn it on. Exactly. You know, I need the steps. It lasted 3 days and she couldn't do it anymore. I was like, maybe that's the perfectionist part, but now I'm able to, you know, bounce around and do things for myself. But I was looking for an at home group. Maybe in a few years, I will maybe think about starting one, but I'm just so grateful this was here. I'm so grateful that I didn't use the excuse that I didn't want to deal with Zoom or anything like that. I don't know where my minutes are. The first time I got depressed was honestly, sadly, 3 months after I got married. And, you know, being the alcohol issue with my husband. Also, I moved away from my job and I worked since I was 13. So I just, that was a part of me. I was proud of it. We had to pay our school tuition. You know, we went to private parochial school and had to pay our own tuition. In some ways, if I would have known better, I may have tried a public school. I think not because of what I'm grateful for what I got from there, but I think there was other things that maybe a public school could have offered me as well. But anyway, so I left my job as a physical therapy assistant right after I got married because we moved, wow, a whole hour away. I never went anywhere as a kid. You know, there was too many of us. And now my husband's driven an hour to work almost every job he's had. So, but we lived in Ohio and outside of Cleveland, I moved to Cleveland and, my husband drank after work and he was recovering on Saturday. And, you know, I said, wait a minute here. We just got married, you know? And so there was a tendency, I knew he had alcoholism in his family, but I had so much other baggage in my family. The big thing for me was, oh God, please let my father get a job. Please let him get a job. You know, cause by the time it got to the last four or five kids, he was not working. And he was a very smart man. He was, in World War II, in the Air Force, flew and was a bomber jet plane. And it really, I think, affected him because he couldn't really speak about it very often, or actually not at all. Actually, I learned through my husband many things about my dad because, you know, maybe just two guys talking, I don't know. And he was an engineer. He went to college, everything. But I don't know if there was something with authority. I really don't know. And my family, sisters and brothers have, you know, talked about it. And so my mom was on this, you know, it seemed like she always wanted to fix something in him. You know, I can understand the job for sure, why she'd want to do that. But I give her a lot of respect. For what she had, you know, done. She said to us, I knew I was going to have 9 children. When I got married, I probably would have turned around and ran out. But she, you know, it was just her beliefs that she did. And now she's complete and has been grateful and always said, oh, what am I going to do without another baby in the house? But anyway, basically a lot of my focus was on, geez, my mom and dad have so much on their plate. I can't add anything more to their plate. I just need to help. I just need to help. You know, so I worked and gave my dad money and he built us a log home that he was so proud of and I was going to do. And I was so proud to live there, but they lost it, you know, and so we were renting it and was giving him money for rent and, you know, and that was all good. But when he borrowed money sometimes and didn't pay it back, he'd say, don't tell your mom. And that was that they weren't on the same team for some reason. And that was very confusing, very difficult. I don't know where I am on time, but just jump in it if I have a few more minutes. So as a kid, you know, I remember, like, you know, how you sell candy bars or whatever. I was selling some seeds for school or for something. And he took the money I got from that. And, you know, and from not all my brothers and sisters, the younger ones, I think, really had it hard in some ways. The older ones had it hard in other ways. But I think my mom's mental illness also came in there, and she had seen so much with her mom in and out of hospitals, and back then it was so different, so hard. My journey, I was hospitalized twice. The first time after I was married in 81, and then again in 83, and then since then just been dealing with the depression that can get so bad that it feels like I want to be hospitalized, but it's such a fine line. You go back a little bit and then you go forward, and honestly in that time in the hospital and back in the 80s, wasn't even that far back, but I felt like there was drug abuse there. I felt like I was like drugged to no end, and I would never get myself back. And I do feel like there's a place for medicine. I do see where it's helped me. And I think that's probably just an individual choice for everyone. And it changes. You know, I accept I have depression, then given this medicine, then I'm told I may have to stay on it for the rest of my life. I accept that. And then it changes. It's not working anymore. It's also, so like you say in the on the website, baffling, as is alcoholism as well. I didn't become an alcoholic, but I drank in my late teens and early 20s a lot, and I enjoyed it. And when I met my husband, we drank, and I didn't mind that he drank because I like to drink. And not the best way to begin a relationship, because it's a lot different when you're drinking than when not. And I've had questionable times about my relationship. Like, it sounds crazy, but like, do I love him enough? And I have guilt if I don't. And I mean, I'll share this. Do I have that, in love feeling that, you know, maybe isn't always even real, or maybe it's just in my mind, but I love him. I love the man. I care about him. I hope things get, you know, I hope good things for him. And as a couple, we've helped each other grow. But when I get depressed, I still get that like feeling, and it's just, I hate it. And I know that explained in depression sometimes that that people get these feelings like their job's not good or that's not good. I don't know. I'm just bringing my higher power in with me when that pops up. And when I with my higher power, it just seems like that's just like a thought that's just getting in the way for me. I don't know if I remember when I lost my grandmother at 14, and I was devastated. My dad was an only child, and she always wanted more kids. And that it's so funny because now like there's just so much family. My dad was an only child, and then she has all of us, and she treated us like gold, and you know, there was nothing wrong with us. It was unconditional. I just loved her and can't wait to see her again. I remember even thinking when she held my hand, you know, sometimes we'd get to be the only one staying over her house, or sometimes it would be all of us staying over her house, and we'd just be us sleeping all over the place. But I remember seeing those big veins in her hand, I don't know. I have them now, and I don't look them at them as, I look them at them as beautiful because it reminds me of her. So I felt really a strong love with her. And sadly, the day she died, that same date, my husband and I, gave me a ring and we were engaged, you know, but I always have these doubts, and I don't want to have them. I don't want them in my relationship, and I don't know why they're there, and I hate them. And I don't think it would be good for us to be apart or get divorced, but it's just like this nagging thing. And it's just like, just leave me alone, you know? And he's also my best friend too. So that's, you know, I don't know why that happens to me when I get depressed, but anyway, I'm not feeling that way now. I'm just feeling like grateful to have him in my life. And I know that he loves me. And I hope he knows that I love him in the way that love is important for me anyway. I don't know how much time that is, really. I appreciate on this website, you know, all the kind words. I had a great welcome from all of you, and especially from Shauna. Shauna, you were so welcoming, which means a lot to me, because I and even called and text, because I hope you don't mind that I said your name. But I, you know, initially it's just, I tend to stay in the background.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. Thank you. So just thanks for everybody who shares. And I appreciate you all. And I recently was away for a couple of days visiting my mom. I hadn't seen her for so long. First time she was in the assisted living, and it was so good to see her, and she was really glad to see us. So I'm grateful for that. And I'll stop now. Thanks. Thanks, Bernard, for sharing. Oh, whoa, I was just about to turn the whole screen off. I'm glad I didn't do that. All right, I'm done. I'll mute.
Bernard, you're muted.
Well, I would like to thank Bob again for her share.
Make sure you turn off the recording, Bernard.
No, I don't want to be recorded.